scripture lesson for the morning begins in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And then we read some church history about the church right after Easter Sunday, and that comes from Acts chapter 5. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, you have life in his name. Then from Acts 5. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles. They were all together in Simon's portico, part of the temple of Jerusalem. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. And the high priest took action. He and all who were with him, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, "Go stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life." When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. When the high priest and those who with them arrived, they called together the council and the whole body of the elders of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the temple police went in, they did not find them in prison, and so they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they were perplexed about them, wondering what might be going on. Then someone arrived and announced, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the temple police and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sermon title is Easter Now and Forever. Now that's not a nutritional question. We get nutritional questions at Easter, like how many marshmallow chicks and chocolate eggs can 1 4-year-old eat before breakfast? And it's not a dietary question about what to do with 17 multicolored hard-boiled eggs that the whole family said they would eat while they're there's still 2 quarts of egg salad in the refrigerator for somebody else. And I thought about those things, those nutritional questions about Easter. And then I came to practice my sermon on Saturday, and another nutritional question popped up. Some wonderful person wanted me to have a good Easter, and I just missed it until yesterday when I was practicing. This says dark chocolate covered marshmallow peeps. Now, we all know how good peeps are. Whoever you are, thank you. One dipped in dark chocolate is even better. And so it was a good surprise. It made me think about Easter. But of course we're thinking about Easter. We're not thinking about eating and candy and nutritional questions. But questions of faith. And that question is good. Easter, now and forever? It's the same question that the followers of Jesus were asking. I mean, what were they supposed to do about the resurrection? They didn't know. And oftentimes we don't either. But they and we need to ask the question, Easter, now, and forever? To help us with that, look at that first lesson from John. The disciples were behind closed doors, locked away, and scared and baffled and confused. And this was after some of the appearances and the reports of those appearances of Jesus. And then again, Jesus appears and says to them, in effect, now get on with life now as you know it, and life as you find it in me, which goes on forever. And that's why he began with that very customary greeting his day, shalom. In English, peace. He was not trying to be clever. He was not trying to be cute or cool or kind of high guy, surprise. Not at all. It was a genuine, regular, good morning that they heard from him. And what it communicated was more than good morning. It was that he was not angry with them for forsaking him. Rather, he was saying, good morning. I've not failed. Now let's get on with it. But we can still ask the same question that the disciples asked. Get on with what? Now, obviously life was not and could not be the same, but how were the disciples supposed to know what to do? They had been, or rather, were in the process of experiencing the greatest historical event in the history of mankind, the resurrection. And it was, to put it mildly, unsettling. Now, we face the same danger from the reverse side. We know, in a year, we'll celebrate Easter again. And so we're a little tempted to just kind of set it aside for now and not deal with the question. What are we supposed to do? Easter? Now? Forever? What? Well, notice what Jesus did. They had known him as their rabbi, their interpreter, God's mission to the world. And he taught what he understood to be the will of God, and much of what he taught the common people had accepted and in many ways understood. They were as used to him doing that as they were to his good morning. So he said to them, as a rabbi, I have declared what's right and wrong, what's the proper interpretation of God's will, and what is not. And now I want you to do the same thing. And I give you the Holy Spirit of God to give you the power to do it. In fact, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they're retained. You know, those words are almost as amazing as he is risen from the dead. Theologically, we've got to think about it that way to understand it practically. Theologically, those words mean that preaching or not preaching the gospel is a granting or a withholding of the forgiveness that is already determined by divine judgment. We have that power. We have that responsibility. If you look at the cross and the resurrection, they say judgment passed, justice served, debt paid. And we can say that to ourselves. We can say that to others. Theologically. Practically, it has to do with forgiveness of ourselves and others. And therefore, how we do that answers the question, Easter now and forever? Yes. Now and forever. It means that we do not have to wait for the benefits of the resurrection. I mean, obviously we have to wait, as the Apostles' Creed says, for the resurrection body. But the life everlasting begins now. And it begins with forgiveness. With sin and sins being defeated by the grace of God. Now think with me about that for a moment. How do you and I live as forgiven and so forgiving people? Because that's the way we witness to ourselves and others that we really do believe the gospel. As we all need to be forgiven, so we all need to be forgiving. Consider the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now that doesn't mean that we earn our forgiveness by forgiving other people. It does mean that we forgive others in response and as a result of our being forgiven. Be sure you keep that order right. And that answers the question, Easter now and forever. Because with Easter we have been given the power and the conviction to live life the way God wants us to live, now and always. All of us have sinned against God. But the part we don't think about is that all of us have been sinned against. Everyone has something for which to forgive someone else. Now maybe we can't remember an uncommitted. But it does crop up in our thoughts and our feelings from time to time. About the time we're feeling generous and mellow and secure, something comes along and reminds us of the time we got cheated or verbally abused or lied to or lied about, and it makes us so upset. Maybe it's something we remember all too often and all too well. We can't forget it to the point that we're becoming interested and obsessed with revenge or bitterness. Maybe a combination of people and events that cause us misery. The good news of the gospel that we need to preach to ourselves and to others is that just as God gives us the defeat over death with the resurrection of the body, so he gives us a way to combat the wrong we endure in life now with a life that's everlasting. That starts now with forgiveness. You see, as Christians, you and I can forgive. We take that entirely too much for granted. We kind of act like forgiveness is a kind of Christian courtesy. Oh yeah, you forgive me. Fine, that's all right. Well, yeah, we forgive everybody. That's all right. No bother. I don't care how you act, you're forgiven. No. Forgiveness costs the blood of Christ. And when he says we have the power to do that, that's not something that we do lightly. Forgiveness, in fact, is the strongest witness we have. It's the greatest power that we have in a world that, quite frankly, can't get enough forgiveness. Along with the fact that sometimes it doesn't even know enough to be looking for it. Think about it. The Arabs and the Jews. Still having issues over West Bank settlements. 2,000 Polish officers that the Russians exterminated in World War II. Do you really think that the Irish Protestants and the Irish Catholics are getting along?
I hope so.
What about pro-life and pro-choice? Husbands and wives, parents and children, family and family, neighbors and neighbors, employer and employee. All need to, but maybe can't
forgive.
Can't. I won't. It is not that they will not. Perhaps they cannot. Perhaps they are not able. But as Christians, we can. We are able to forgive. It's our strongest witness. It's our greatest power. The resurrection of Christ commands and energizes and encourages us to use that power. I mean, we all know about sin and sins and how much they hurt. We've all been on the receiving end of sin's results. Parents have been disappointed by their children when the children reject their values. Children have been used by parents. And fathers and mothers try to live their lives through their children. Marriage has been selfishly practiced by all married people. Neighboring has sometimes been an excuse for gossiping. When you think about all that, it can turn us into bitter, sour, mean people, thinking only how much we've been abused and clouding our minds to the point that we forget that we too have sinned against others the way they sinned against us. What rescues that situation? Only the answer to Easter now and forever, which is that Easter never ends. To see God's love at Easter, so much so as to provide for our forgiveness and invite us to life forever, demands that we share that with others to a living proclamation of the gospel, which means living it, not just talking about it. If we do not forgive those who sin against us, God still does, if they ask Him. And if we don't forgive, we're simply left with an unforgiving, bitter spirit, which prevents our joy in life. On the other hand, if we can forgive, then surely God can and does, we being less than God. And what a sign to everybody, ourselves included, that the resurrection does deal with both life now and forever. Now, to see all of that in action, think about that little bit of church history we read from Acts 5, history of the early church. Peter had some kind of special power. His very shadow healed people much.